It's time!
Shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and the backhand stopped by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal! Number 3, Chris Mason!
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, which today is Pinewood Social in South Broadway. Come hang out, watch the SEC tournament games. And joining us now is Chris Mason, C. Mace. Those Predators went on the road and whooped some Winnipeg butt. And it was an awfully impressive showing from the Nashville Predators. How do you view that kind of maybe as a measuring stick game against the Predators and a team that they could likely see in the first round of the playoffs?
I think it was really good. I mean, I think more importantly, you know, who knows what, you know, Winnipeg, obviously they, you know, I talked to a lot of people from their side and they understood, like, the Preds are playing really good. You know, all the things, it could be a first round matchup, but I don't know for sure if they had the same level of urgency, because it sure didn't look like it in the game. You know, but they've been one of the top teams. They've got a lot to play for, as you mentioned, Caroline. They're trying to win the Western Conference. They want to be that one seed. It's a team that loaded up. They think they have a chance to go for it. They're one of the teams that I would consider in the elite grouping with Dallas, Colorado, Vancouver, and then Winnipeg. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out, because a lot of that race is going to impact, you know, what the Predators do and wherever they finish, if they're going over to the Pacific or if they're staying in the Central. But to me, I was like, okay, this is a test. A lot's at stake for both teams. You know, Winnipeg understands the situation. They're trying to win the West. And then the Predators, you're playing a top-tier team. Let's say you caught the Avalanche on a bad night at home, when Nashville, you know, beat them pretty handedly. But this was a different story. This was every facet of the game Nashville was better in. They got up for the game. They understand how they have to play. They made the right decisions. It was just, it was really impressive. Probably, to me, the most impressive game of the season so far, just because I think, you know, you get on a win streak, and then when it's, you know, you're playing a team like Winnipeg, it's a different ball game. You got to be ready. You got to be ready to go, and you almost have to be perfect. And they were almost, you know, better than that, I think, in terms of the way that they dismantled the Jets.
Everything has just been clicking. They've been playing at such a high level, and Wednesday night's game was no difference. But coming from your experience, what is it like after the deadline? You know, of course, Barry Trotz, it's a soft buy, bringing in Anthony Beauvillier and Jason Zucker. Jason Zucker finds the net on Wednesday night. But what's that dynamic like, trying to gel and mesh and build that chemistry with a couple of new players so late in the season?
It's exciting because I think, you know, it's just a league. You always have to continually prove yourself. And even though, you know, Zucker and Beauvillier are veteran guys, you want to get in, you want to make a good impression on the coach, on the fans, on your teammates, you know, the guys there already that, you know, a lot of the guys that played for the Preds all season long, they want to make a good impression on the new guys. But you're kind of getting in a situation now, you know, this part of the season, everything's going so good. This is a big, you know, win streak. They have a chance tomorrow to get even more separation, maybe put Seattle, you know, out of the equation with a win against them. But there's still, you know, almost, you know, 17% of the season left, a big chunk of games. And, you know, I worry about keeping this level of intensity the whole way through. And you know, as they try to build that chemistry and as they try to, you know, do all these special things that they're doing right now, there's a long way to go. And there's sometimes there's a crash after these long streaks. I think you kind of saw it in Milwaukee. I know they had some injuries and things like that. But when you go on a long winning streak and then you maybe lose a couple, there can be a little bit of an emotional crash. So, you know, that's all hypothetical. But that's one thing that I worry about. There's still a lot of hockey left to be played.
We'll talk with Chris Mason, part of the Nashville Predators broadcasting team, along with Willie Donick. Now, C-Mace, what are you seeing in the third and fourth lines? Because together, combined in the last 10 games, they are double-digit goals. And it seems like they're playing really well. And this is what we were concerned about early on in the season. Where are they getting secondary scoring from? Well, now we see, well, within the last 10 games, we see where this secondary scoring is coming from. And it's coming from, you know, lines three and four. So what are you seeing from those lines?
Well, I think finally that's a great point, because that's a massive part of the team's success right now. You've got guys that, you know, have offensive skill. Obviously, McCarron was a first-round pick. He's a big guy. We know what his role is, but he has skill. He can make plays. He gets in there. He's good on the forecheck. Kiefer Sherwood, another guy on that line. You know, he's been a superstar offensively in the American Hockey League, and he's kind of changed his role to play up here to more of a physical grinder type of a player, forechecking player. But he has those offensive skills, and I think now that they're getting that chemistry, Cole Smith, they just get in there and they just absolutely hound teams. They get on the forecheck, they get that puck back, and now with their confidence and you know, the chemistry that they've built and the role that they've really thrived in is the catalyst, the identity role. They start every game. I mean, you're starting to see them make plays, and the game is slowing down a little bit for them instead of just going in there and, you know, hitting everybody and, you know, doing the old Hanson Brothers thing, getting the energy and then get off the ice. Now they're starting to make plays. They're starting to, you know, use their offensive skill sets that they have. And it takes sometimes a while to translate, you know, at the National Hockey League level, because that's not necessarily your role, and you don't want to make a mistake doing that if you're the fourth line. But, you know, now they're just every game, whether they are on the score sheet, they have been on the score sheet a ton. They're creating plays, they're playing in the offensive zone, and they're still played to their identity. So it's been fantastic. And then, you know, Tommy Novak's line as well with Evangelista, he's grown so much this year in terms of his overall game. And Tommy Novak as well with the new contract, but he had that big injury and it took him a while to get back going. And then Mark Jankowski on that line too has really, I think, been dynamic in his ability to, you know, kind of shore up their defensive side of things and maybe bring them into that part of the game. Because if I was going to pick a weakness of maybe, you know, Evangelista and Novak, would be, you know, defensive situations. But they've really, as a line, I think, improved so much. And if you can kind of round that part of your game, you're going to play with the puck more, and then you're going to have more ability to go in and make offensive plays, which they have done as well. And it's been, you know, obviously everyone has been contributing, and on the, you don't go on a streak like that with one line going, you know, so it's been nice. And that makes it, you know, really hard for opposition to match up lines. It's a really tough decision for the other coach who to put out there against the lines, because everyone's scoring right now.
Talking to Chris Mason, talking some Predators hockey. They play the Seattle Kraken tomorrow night. So, Mace, let's talk about UC Saros, because he's such a big part of the equation here. What are you seeing in his game right now that has allowed him to get to his best? Because we've definitely seen that jump, and that's a huge part of what they're doing right now.
I think, you know, there's a certain point when there's elite guys, and he's one of them. He's had maybe his most up and down season, I think, in the NHL. It's been a process for him, you know, because he's had some really good stretches, some stretches where he may be, you know, letting in some goals that, you know, aren't characteristic of, you know, his past and his abilities. He's had some really unlucky stretches where, you know, it just seems a string of goals going off his own guys. It's been really challenging. But I think in the long run, I think that's a really good thing for any player, especially, you know, one that's had a career like Juice has, and he hasn't had too many of these situations to deal with. And, you know, finally it comes to a point in the season, and for whatever reason, you know, going down that last part when it matters and your team's trying to get in the playoffs, or you're trying to move up in the standings, he seems to bring his best hockey. And it was kind of almost in conjunction with the team. It was almost like it was one day everybody just decided, and Juice as well. And I think it starts with him, because I remember early in that St. Louis game, that first game after that blowout, he looked like a different player. He looked like, all right, that's Juice. And usually early in the game, you know, when I'm watching Juice, I can tell if he's on, and just the way his eyes are connected to the play, his movements, anticipating, you know, cross ice plays and finding pucks through screens. And he looked like he had that, you know. And then right now. Again, once you get that and you do it again, that confidence is back, and then the game just, it just slows down from him. But, you know, I've got to give the guys in front of him a lot of credit too, because I think they're doing a really good job of letting him see as many pucks as possible. Everybody's in there helping, you know, on the rebounds. But, you know, we saw Winnipeg, Toffoli breakaway. Still, they give up those chances. Of course, other teams are going to create offense against him. And he's making those big saves early, allowing the guys to, you know, get off to some really good starts. And then the third period shutdowns, he's just been rock solid.
We mentioned this before, Mace, when he was going through some struggles. We wondered if the burden of all those trade talks were affecting him at all. And, of course, that was still sort of out there as he started to get things going like he has recently. But what do you think of his just peace of mind right now that the trade deadline's gone? What effect do you think that's having, if any?
I think it always has an effect. And we talk about this too. As much as any player says they're trying to, you know, block it out and, you know, not think about it, it's there. And even if you try to do that, you know, you can't really control your own thoughts. You have to have the thought and then try to put it aside and not worry about that. But it's there, and it's a level of uneasiness to have an uncertain, you know, some decision made that you have no control of sitting in the balance, and you're going to the rink every day, you know, trying to play to the best of your ability and not worry about that. You know, you're able to do that, I think, a lot easier, and you learn how to do that as a pro athlete, to compartmentalize personal stuff and those types of feelings and put them aside. But the fact that they're there, they're on your mind, they're weighing you down, and everybody handles, you know, that kind of thing differently. But, you know, I think for him, and this is just me guessing, it was a good peace of mind to have that over for any of these guys. You know, Carrier, all these guys that were worried about the uncertain future, and there was so much talk, especially around our team. You know, the Predators, depending on the situation, were they going to sell everybody? Were they going to try to re-sign guys? They were talking about contracts. And obviously the Saros, Skarov conversation was real. You know, a lot of people were talking about that. What could you get for Saros? And, you know, they hear that. So I think once that's that deadline's passed, it's like a big exhale for everybody. And they're like, you know what? All right, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I can just 100% hockey. And I think you've seen with this group, it's been pretty impactful to have that come and gone.
See, Mace, you are the best. Appreciate your time. Have a great call tomorrow night, and safe travels back from Seattle.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.